Tonight's shir is on Parshas Nitzavim, and the title of the shir is Counting Accidental Sins. So I figured we would take up an area related to tshuva, being that we're encountering the Aseres Yemei Tshuva coming up, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I found a very interesting area in this week's Parsha, which is related to tshuva and how man's sins are judged. So I thought we might take this up for tonight's shir. It's based on Psukim in this week's Parsha, and Dvarim Perek Chaf Tes, Pasuk Yud Zayin, starts with. So if we look at number one, and I'm going to read it inside. It says, so most background, Moshe is speaking to all of Klal Yisrael, and he's reminding them about keeping the Bris Torah, keeping the Torah. And then he says something very interesting. If you look at the first Pasuk, Yud Zayin, Pen Yesh Bachem Ish O Isha, O Mishpacha O Shevet, Asher levavo fone hayom me'im Hashem elokeinu laleches la'avod es Elohei ha'goyim ahim pen yesh bachem shoresh pore rosh v'la'ana. So the pasuk says, maybe there's an individual, a man or a woman amongst the nation, or a family, or a shevet, or a tribe, who doesn't desire to be in line with Hashem, but rather he desires, or they desire to do avodah zarah, and to follow in the path of the gods of the goyim. So pen yesh bachem shoresh pore rosh v'lana means maybe you'll have a poisonous root amongst you. So Moshe is talking about an individual or a group of people who decide not to be in line with God and who decide to be in line with avodah zarah. Okay? And then he goes on, v'haya bishamo es divrei ha'alah hazos. So when this person or these group of people listen to all the curses in the Torah, v'hisbarech bilvavo lemor shalom yiyeli. We're going to explain what that means. So I'm going to leave this pasuk. We're going to come back to it, but this is the main pasuk. But basically, the summary of the pasuk is that the person decides to just follow whatever his heart tells him to do. So he does whatever he wants. So what happens to that person? If we look at Yud-Tes, it says, Lo yoveh Hashem saloach lo. Hashem will not forgive this individual. Ki oz yashan af Hashem b'kinaso ba'ishahu. So Hashem's jealousy will be aroused against this individual. V'ravtza bo kol ha'olah ha'ksuva b'sefer hazeh. And all the curses in the Torah will be bestowed upon this individual. U'macha Hashem ha'shemo mitachas ha'shamayim. And Hashem will wipe out his name from underneath the shamayim. And then the next pasuk, V'hivdilo Hashem l'ra'o mikol shivtei Yisrael k'chol lo sabris ha'ksuva b'sefer ha'torah hazeh. This person will be separated out for evil from amongst the shivtei Yisrael, in accordance with all the curses of the Torah that are written in this Torah. Okay, as I said before, the main pasuk, which we're going to take up, and which gives us a tremendous insight into how man is judged, is pasuk Yud Ches. So we're going to do it with Rashi. So let's go back to the pasuk. It says, V'haya bishamo es divrei ha'olah hazos. So when this person, or group of people, listen to the curses, V'hisparech bilvavo lemor shalom yiyeli. So let's look at Rashi. What exactly is this person saying? So number two, source number two. It says, V'hisbarech bilvavo, lashon bracha. The lashon of v'hisbarech is a reference to bracha, to being blessed. Yachsho belibo, bircha shalom la'atmo lemor, lo yavi'uni klalus halalo, ach shalom yeli. So the person thinks that he won't be affected by the curses, and he'll be in a state of peace, and he'll be good. So that's what's going through his mind. He says, shalom yeli, I'll be fine. Look at the next Rashi, v'hisbarech, yivarech es atmo. He's going to bless himself, and he'll say, listen, I'm going to do whatever I want, and I'm not going to be affected by the curses mentioned in the Torah. B'shrirus libi elech, the next Rashi, b'maris libi, whatever my heart shows me, any image that my heart shows me, kimo ashirenu v'lo karov, klomar masha libi roi lasos. So whatever my heart wants to do and is desirous and sees to do, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to be affected by the curses of the Torah. Okay, so what happens to that person? This is the most interesting part of the pasuk, in my opinion. The next line in Rashi, it says, Laman sefos harava, lefisha osif lo paronios, or paronos, almasha asa adhena b'shogeg, v'hayisi mavir aleim. So this individual, he may have done many sins b'shogeg, and I would have passed over them. God's saying, I would have passed over them. V'gorim ata, but now that this person decides to follow in the wrong path, he's gorim, he's causes now, she'atzarfim im ha-mezid, v'afara mimenu ha-kol. Now I'm going to combine his shogegs with the mezids, and I'm going to punish him for everything. V'chein tergum unkelis. And this is also the explanation of unkelis. Bidil the Osafale Chati Shalusa al Zidanusa. So that I add on the chataim that were done b'shogeg on the chataim that were done b'mezid. She'osif lo ani hashgagos al hazdonos. I'm going to add on, I'm going to tack on the shgagos, the averus done b'shogeg, onto this donos. And how is Rashi learning this out? Because he says, harava, if we look at the next Rashi, harava shogeg, shu ose ka'adam shikr shalomidas. Harava is a reference to a drunken person. And that's a reference to a chet done b'shogeg, because it's shalomidas. And Hatzmeya, Shu Osa Midas Uvitaiva, is a reference to a person who does Bemezid. He's doing it Midas and Vitaiva, with Taiva, with desire. Okay, so what exactly is Rashi saying? Rashi's saying that a person who decides that he's just going to follow whatever his heart tells him to do, and whatever he sees to do, and he says, I'm not going to be affected by the curses in the Torah. So God is saying in the Pasuk, not only am I going to punish you for the averus that you do b'mezid on purpose, but I'm also going to punish you for the averus done b'shogeg. I would have not punished you for the averus done b'shogeg, but now I'm going to punish you for the averus done b'shogeg, and we're going to have one big ball of averus. We're going to have a ball of averus filled with shogeg and filled with mezid. Right? So that's a... And the reason why he's learning it is from the lashon of the pasuk. Rava is a drunken person, and Atzmeya is a person who's mitzave. He's desirous, and he knows what he's doing. Okay, so what is the question that emerges from this Rashi immediately? Somebody asked the question. I think it's obvious.
Well, I would just wonder, like, if a person is turning away, then they wouldn't be threatened by all these punishments because they wouldn't, like, believe that it's such a, like, a truth that exists.
Okay, it's a person might not be threatened by it, but the reality, that God is expressing the reality. The reality is that if you decide that you're not going to be affected by the curses and you just want to do whatever your heart desires, so God's going to tack on the shkagos onto this donos, onto the mezids, right? So what's the question? I think the question is that by a shogeg, you know, what is the deal with a shogeg? Why is it that God would have passed over them? I mean, is it a chet or not to do a chet b'shogeg? So why is God saying that he would pass over the chatan b'shogeg had this person not decided to do this? And also, the question is, why? What changed? Why is it that now, once the guy does decide to do averus b'mezid, all of a sudden the shogegs get tacked on as well in terms of the punishment? You know, it's a classic mimonav shach question. Is a shogeg a chet? Is it a problem or is it not a problem? It sounds like he's saying it's not a problem in the beginning because God's not going to punish you for it. But all of a sudden, God is going to punish you for it. So which one is it? Is it something that a person should be punished for? Okay, well, what is b'shogeg? Like, how would you define b'shogeg? Give me a case. What?
You do something unintentionally.
Yeah, so what does unintentionally mean? Like, I'll give you an example. I mean, the classic example is Shabbos. So if a guy, let's say a guy turns on a fire on Shabbos, on the oven, because he doesn't know that it's usher to turn on a fire on Shabbos. So that's a case of shogeg. He didn't know that it was usher, and he did it. Or let's say a guy doesn't even know it's Shabbos. He wasn't keeping track of his calendar, and he doesn't know it's Shabbos, and then he turns the fire on. So the idea of a shogeg is it's not a person who does things arrogantly. It's a person who's lacking a certain knowledge in the area. He doesn't know that it's usher, or he doesn't know that it's Shabbos. Right? So, like, that's an aver b'shogeg. So, I mean, the question still remains, you know, is that a bad thing? Should a person be punished for a shogeg? Why is Rashi saying that God would have passed over them, and then he's saying no, but now that the guy is doing averus b'mezid, he's not going to pass over them, and he's going to attach them to the mezids. Right? Somebody say yes on the phone line.
Yes.
Okay, the question, you hear the question, it makes sense? Okay.
If he's so forgetful, he doesn't think about Shabbos, and eventually he's doing it in b'mezid, it's almost like there's just no meaning behind what he's doing.
Okay, I like what you're saying, but then if that's the case, then let's say he doesn't do the mazids. So why shouldn't he be why should he not be punished if he doesn't do the mazids? You know? Like is it a chait or is it not a chait? That's my question, okay? So just to understand a little bit about shogeg a little bit more, if we look at number 3 in the Rambam. So it's a Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, Parak Alpha Lacha Aleph. He says, Kol mitzvo shebetorah, bein aseh, bein lo saseh, im avar adam al achas mehen, bein bezadon, bein bishgaga, kishiyase tshuva av yashu mecheto, chayv lesvados, lifnei akel baruch hu. Okay, so what is the Rambam saying in number 3? The Rambam is clearly saying...
Cut off there.
Oh, it's okay. Sorry, I was saying that shogeg... My question was, why isn't a person punished for the shogeg alone, if it's really...
Right, no. Yeah.
I was just saying that, I hear your point. It's a good point, and it's definitely along the direction, but, like, the question still remains, you know, what's the difference between a shogeg alone versus a shogeg with the mazids? I think that idea has to be, like, clarified, but I definitely hear your points. We're just going to go on, and then we'll come back to it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so if you look at number 3 in the Rambam, as I just read, the Rambam points out openly that a person has to do tshuva for a chait, not only bezadon, but even b'shogeg. He says, Kol mitzvah shebetorah, bein aseh, bein lo saseh, im avar adam al achas mehen, bein bezadon, bein b'shgaga, whether it's b'mezid or b'shogeg, kishiyase tshuva. So you see that when you do tshuva for a shogeg and a zadon. And if you look at number 4, which is appropriate for Yom Kippur, one of the achits is achit shechatan lefanecha b'shgaga. So part of vidoy and tshuva is recognizing our chataim that are done b'shogeg. So this is the reason why I bring these in is it strengthens the question. If a shogeg is really a chait, and a person has to do tshuva for a shogeg, so why is it that God passes over them in terms of punishment, and then all of a sudden they count when a person does b'mezid, or this type of person who decides to follow his heart, all of a sudden they count. So why don't they count intrinsically? You know, if you have to do tshuva for it, and it's a chait, just like, and you have to do tshuva for it, just like you have to do tshuva for a mezid, so then it should count. It should count as a chait. So then God should punish you for it. So why is it saying, why does Rashi say, before, and that Rashi says, Hayisi mavir aleim, I would have passed over them, if not for the fact that you're doing this donos. Why should God pass over them? You're over a chait, you have to do tshuva on them. Okay.
So that's why maybe it's punished, not for the inherent shogeg, but because you didn't learn that it's really not allowed and you didn't incorporate it.
Okay, good. All right, good. So that's a good approach.
Are you saying that the shogeg and the mazid thing are the exact same sin that you're doing, or two different things?
No. Oh, they're two different things, it sounds like. It sounds like they're just two different things. But it's a good question. I think yeah.
Messaging them is what your mindset was.
Okay. What do you mean?
Shogeg, your mindset is you don't really know what's happening. As you said, like, the person might not even realize that it's Shabbos.
Okay.
And with the mazid, though, you know what you're doing, and you're doing it on purpose. So if somebody does the shogeg just by itself, then in that mindset, you don't even know what's happening. But if then you do something else, the mazid, that means that you're still not in the mindset, and that's much worse.
Yeah, but then why is the shogeg counted? Like,
why is the shogeg counted?
Yeah, if at the time of the shogeg, the whole idea that you're saying
because you never changed your mindset. It's not a best case scenario that you should be doing since the shogeg.
Right.
So you should try to change your mindset so that you realize that it's Shabbos and that you know what's happening, that you won't.
Okay, but let's say, according to Rashi, let's say you did the shogeg by itself without doing the mazids. So why doesn't God punish you in that case? You should change your mindset. Same point. You should change your mindset no matter what. So you should be punished no matter what.
They'll cut you a little slack if you really didn't.
Right. So that's what I want to address. I want to address that idea of cutting us slack.
Learn at all, and you still have that bad mindset, and you start doing things on purpose, then it's really
okay. Good. Good, good. I just want to address, like, that idea of, like, cutting us slack and, like, what that idea is. But it's a good... I see what you're saying. I see what everybody here is saying. They're all saying, like, everybody's saying a key idea, and I think it's like everything's in the direction, but we need a little bit more info, a little bit more, a couple more ideas, and then I think we can just like tie everything together. Okay, so
I think it's showing you also this whole cutting crack in a sense when you know you have the opportunity to say tshuva on this. It's showing you that you did something wrong, but it wasn't necessarily. Your thought process wasn't to do it, so you have an opportunity to recognize it, do the tshuva. If you do it again, then you know you're doing it beneath it now, you know?
But then it's not b'shogeg.
No, the second time, I know. But
right.
I was just thinking about the fact that you still need to do tshuva, even if you do b'shogeg, even though you don't get punished.
Right. Oh, okay, so that's a, yeah, so why... Yeah.
It's just showing, I'm just trying to figure out the a difference here, and you could see... And in a sense, in the first case, you're cut slack for it, so to say.
Okay. Right. So let's understand that a little bit more. But that is definitely the approach. So let's look at number 5 in the Rambam. This is like a fascinating Rambam. It really needs to be explained. So I'm going to read inside in number 5. The Rambam is Hilchos Tshuva Perek Gimel Halacha Hey. B'shah Sheshoklin Avonos Adam. So when a person's sins are weighed or counted or weighed, imzchiyosov, they're weighed or counted against the person's merits. So it's his sins versus his merits. Ein mechashvin olav avon shechata bo tchila velosheni elish mishlishi va'elach. So we don't count. They're not the first two aren't considered. They're not counted. We start from the third onwards. Im nimtu avonosav mishlishi va'elach merubin azchiyosov. So if after the third sin, your sins outweigh your merits overall, osam shte avonos mitstarfim, then the first two avonos are mitstarif. They are attached to the third, vidanan oso alakol, and the person is judged on all three. V'im nimtzu zechiyosov keneged avonosov asher ma'avon shlishi va'elech. But let's say they're equal, or his zechiyos are more, from the third one onwards. Ma'avirim kol avonosav rishon rishon. Every avon is wiped out. God passes over them. Lefi shashlishi nechshav rishon. Because the third one is considered like the first. Shekvar nimchalu hashnayim. Because the first two were already nimchal. They're already forgiven. V'chein arevi. If you do it a fourth time. Harehu rishon. It's considered like the first. Shekvar nimchal hashlishi. Because the third one was already nimchal. It was forgiven. V'chein ad sofon. And this is the case ad infinitum. Bamed dvarim amurim biyachid. So what are we referring to in this case? We're talking about an individual. Shneamar hein kol ela yifoil kel pamayim shaloshim gever. So it's basically saying God gives man three times. Aval atzibor tolden lohen avon rishon sheni ushlishi. By atzibor they get 1, 2, and 3. They're tole, so they're not judged on it. Automatically, shenamar ashlusha pishe Yisrael valarba lo ashivenu ukishemishchashvin alahen al derechze mechashvilem reviva elach. But once they do the fourth one, that's when it counts. So let me just summarize the Rambam. So let's say you have an individual and he eats a cheeseburger one time, and then he eats it a second time, then he eats it a third time. So the Rambam is saying that if by the third time he eats the cheeseburger, now his avonos in general outweigh his zechios. His merits, so his sins outweigh his merits. If that's the case, then we start counting from the third, and the first two also count. But if the guy eats a cheeseburger one time and two times, and then the third time he eats it, he's still under the limit, and his avonos are under his zechios, or equal. So if that's the case, the first two sins are wiped out, and the third one's considered like the first time he's doing it, and then each one's, from that point on, is wiped out. Okay? And by the tzibur, we don't say three times, we say four times. We say that a tzibur can, if everybody in the tzibur decides to eat cheeseburgers, so they get an extra shot, you know? So they do one time, two times, three times. They're not really judged on that, or I guess the Rama says they're tolen, their judgment. It's in the air. But then once they do it from the fourth time, so now they're judged, and based on that, okay? So I don't know about you, but this is quite an odd Rambam. It's a very strange Rambam. Like, what is he talking about? You know, why is it that your sins are automatically nimcha, they're forgiven? Did the guy do tshuva? You know, it doesn't say here that the guy did tshuva. He's just saying if a guy does a sin one or two times and then a third time, it's still less than his avonos are still less than his zechios, his merits. All of a sudden, everything's wiped out automatically. It sounds pretty good. And also, why are they wiped out automatically? Doesn't a person have to do tshuva for your sins to be wiped out? And then we have the same question on the first case. Why is it that the first two are in limbo? And then all of a sudden, when a person does the third one, now all of a sudden they count and they're mitzdarif, right? So a strange, very strange Rambam in terms of, you know, how to understand how it works. I hope everybody on the phone line agrees with that. So it's a strange Rambam. So the question is, how do we explain this Rambam? Does anybody have an approach to this Rambam? Maybe to help us out, to try to, you know, open this up a little bit. At least a shot, you know, just a shot in the dark, you know, something.
Can you just explain quickly the difference of the first and second case of the Rambam?
Yeah. The first case, a person eats a cheeseburger one time, two times, and then the third time he eats the cheeseburger, his sins outweigh his zechios overall. So if you did an accounting of his whole body of work in his lifetime, his sins would outweigh, he would have more sins than his zechios, his merits. Then we count all the sins, the first and the second and the third, and we keep counting the sins against him, and he gets judged for them.
On purpose.
Okay. But yeah, this whole case is on purpose. But in the other case, the second case, what? You got it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I guess you could say, in a sense, that someone who has much more positive traits, you got to wonder why they're eating a cheeseburger on purpose.
Okay.
You can kind of question their behavior the first two times.
Okay.
And give them an opportunity to be like, what's going on? You're this person who does all this mitzvot, and now all of a sudden you're doing these things wrong. So the first and second time, you can kind of go, okay, maybe something's up here.
Okay.
The third time, it's like, no, obviously not. We have a problem, and start counting it.
Okay. So I think what you're hitting on is the idea of three. Like, what's the idea of a third time? Like, why is that such a significant factor?
Chazaka.
Chazaka. Okay, chazaka, yeah. So what is that idea? What's the idea of chazaka?
That after you've done it three times, it makes it a lot stronger.
Good. Okay, good. So I think what everyone's saying on the phone line, especially Dina, is that what is the idea of three? So we see there's an idea of chazaka by three, and she's saying that when you do something three times, it makes it stronger, right? I like that idea, and I'm just going to phrase it a little bit differently, but it's the same basic concept. What the Rambam is saying, I think, is that a person is judged not based on how many sins they have in their pocket, but rather the level of attachment they have to sin. So the Rambam is saying that when a person sins one time, two times, and then three times, it becomes a pattern by the third time. It's no longer that the sin is an aberration from the person's normal activity, but now the sin becomes incorporated into the person's mode of operation and the way he acts. It almost becomes like part of the natural tendency of the person. So that's the idea of chazaka, or the idea of three, that the first one, the first sin, you would say, you know, he fell into a trap and he sinned, but he can still break from it. The second sin, he fell into a trap, but he can still break from it. But by the time it's the third sin, now it's already a part of him. He's attached to it in terms of his actions. It's almost natural for him to commit the sin, and it would be an aberration for him not to commit the sin. So the Rambam is saying a novel idea. The Rambam is saying that a person is judged, individuals are judged not based on the particular amount of sins, but the level of attachment a person has to a sin and how how it affects him and how he's drawn to the sin. So there's a qualitative difference between a person who does a sin one or two times versus a person who does a sin three times. But I think that also explains the second case in the Rambam, because if a person's zechios, his merits, outweigh his sins, he's still drawn more to the good than he is to the sin. But the thing is that if by the third sin his sins outweigh his merits, it means that the person is drawn into the life and the world of chet. And there's a certain attachment of the person's soul to chet. So at that point. So I think the Rambam is really highlighting that idea. He's highlighting it's a beautiful idea. He's saying it's not like a checklist, the idea of being judged. People think, oh, I have 10 averos versus 5 averos, but it doesn't work like that. It's an idea and more the level of attachment and the draw of the person to chet, and how drawn in are they into the life of chet and into the action of a chet. Versus, so there's a significant difference between 1 and 2 versus 3. So I think the Rambam's highlighting that idea. Why is it Tzibor? Anybody have an idea? Why do you think a Tzibor would be more? Or 4? Anybody?
More, like it takes more sin for them to have them outweighed?
Yeah. Well, yeah, why? Because, I mean, I think because when you're dealing with many people as opposed to one person, to get everybody on the same page, it takes more. So I would say it's a harder feat to get everybody on the same page and everybody to be attached to the same ideals. So I think the idea is simply in the Rambam, I don't think it's specifically four. I think it's one more than a yachid. Because a yachid is a normal individual. By the third time, it becomes a pattern in the person's life. And now he's drawn to the chet. There's a certain attachment of the soul to chet. And by a group of people, to get everybody in unison to do something over and over again, and to be on this, and to be attached to the same thing, is a harder feat. It takes more to get everybody on board. So the Rambam is saying, by a tzibur, they get an extra chet, before we define them as being attached to a chet, as really having a draw to a chet. Okay, so we see this idea of three times, like throughout halacha. I just brought in this Rambam. It's not the greatest Rambam. I was looking at it afterwards, but if we look at number 6 in Mila, it says Isha. It's Hilchos Mila Parak Aleph Halacha Yedches. Isha Shemala Bina Rishon. So let's say a woman does a Mila on her son, her first son Umes, and then the son dies. Machmas Mila because of the Mila. Shehechshila Es Kocha. She weakened his strength. V'chein Milas Molas Hasheni. Umes machmas mila, and the second she does another mila to her second son, and he dies. Bein mi baila rishon, bein mi baila sheni. Harizel lo yomo sashlishi bismano. So you should not be mal the third one at 8 days old. Elamantin lo achigdal vischaze kocha. But you should wait till he gets older and he gets stronger. So the Rambam, he's saying that after two times you're already choshesh, you're already concerned that there's a pattern here. But really, and that's why by a woman who does Mila on her son, if the first one dies, it's an aberration. If the second one dies, it's still an aberration, but we have to be choshish that there might be a pattern. But it would seem like by the third time, once the third time happens, now it's no longer an aberration. Like it's a reality. It becomes a reality that there's something going on here. And either the child's a hemophiliac, or we don't know the reason, but there's something in common here that we can't ignore. So, but it's the same idea. I'm trying to express the idea that doing something three times creates a certain level of attachment of the person to the chet. And the Rambam is highlighting this idea that chets or chataim, they're judged not based on number, but on the level of the draw that the person has to the chet and how strong the draw is. So by the time you hit three, you're already drawn in qualitatively to this chet significantly. Okay? Yeah. No, but it just means that with regard to this particular flaw, you're drawn to it. Like a guy who eats a cheeseburger three times. So it means that the guy's drawn to eating basar b'chalav. Now he's already attached to it, and in order to break it down, it would take like a much stronger feat. It's a demonstration that the person, it's almost natural for him to eat basar b'chalav at this point.
Not
to break Shabbos. You're right. Yeah, not to break Shabbos. Yeah. It's a particular chet. Okay, so that's one idea in the Rambam, which we're gonna hang on to that idea. And then there's another idea in the Rambam that I think also is similar. It's a little bit different, but it highlights a similar concept that he said before. So if we look at number 7 in the Rambam, it's the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva Perek Gimel Halacha Beis. He says, "Adam shavonosav merubin azichiyosav, a person whose sins are greater than his merits, miyad hu meis berisho, he dies immediately. Shenemar al rov avonecha, through the abundance of his sins. V'chein medina sh'avonoseh merubin, if a medina's avonos are meruba from its zechios, meaning its sins are greater than its merits, miyad hi ovedes, it'll be destroyed right away. Shenemar zakha sedom v'amora ki rabba, you see by sedom v'amora. V'chein kol ha'olam kulo, imayu avonoseh merubin mizchioseh miyad hein nishchasin. Shenemar v'yar Hashem ki rabba ra'as ha'adam. Even the whole world, if the whole world is more evil than good, they get destroyed. V'shikol zeh, but this is the key point, that's why I bolded it. V'shikol zeh eino lefi minyan hazechios v'ha'avonos elo lefi godlam. This count, or this weighing of sins, isn't based on number, but it's based on the level of the sin. Yesh zechus shi kineged kama avonos. There are some merits that are equal to many avonos, many demerits. Shnemar ya'animtza bo davar tov. V'yesh avon shu kineged kama zechios. And then you have an avon, one sin, that's equal to many merits. Shnemar v'chote echad yovad tova harbe. That one chet can destroy much good. V'ein shoklin, you can't weigh this, ele bedaito shel kel deos. Only God can weigh man's sins. V'hu ha'yodea heich orchin ha'zechios kineged ha'avonos. God knows how you weigh the zechios against the avonos. So the first part of the Rambam is an interesting idea, and it's a famous question. You know, what does the Rambam mean that a person dies right away? We see a lot of Rishayim live and they exist. So I don't want to really want to take up that part of the Rambam. The last part of the Rambam, though, is an important idea also, because he's saying that sins, it's in addition to the idea that sins aren't judged based on number alone, but based on the level of the person's attachment and if it becomes a pattern in the person's life or not. But also the Rambam saying here that there's an additional idea of the quality of the sin, that some sins are stronger than other sins in terms of drawing a person away from the good, and other sins aren't. So there are two factors that are weighed when a person's sin, when a person's is judged. One factor is the degree of attachment in terms of the person's natural actions. For example, like if a person eats cheeseburgers once, twice, three times, now he's already attached. His actions are attached to eating cheeseburgers. He is attached to it, and it's natural for him to eat cheeseburgers. And the other is the level of the chet itself. In other words, cheeseburger is a lot different than killing a person. So there's the quality of eating a cheeseburger is also weighed, as opposed to the quality of killing a person. So the Rambam is highlighting like two ideas in how a person's judged. He's highlighting one idea in chet of a certain quality of attachment in terms of pattern, and the other idea in terms of the greatness of the chet, that some chataim have a greater effect on man's soul and other chataim have less of an effect on man's soul. And the point of the Rambam is that man can't know this knowledge, only God knows this knowledge. But why am I bringing these Rambams in? I'm bringing these Rambams in because I'm trying to show you that judgment of man is more sophisticated than just like the checklist idea, but it's really based on a more fundamental idea, which is how attached is man to sin and how much does it affect him and his soul. So these ideas are more philosophical ideas, and they're much deeper. It's a much deeper way of relating to schar v'onesh and being judged than simply I did this chet, I did this chet, I did this chet, I did this chet, but I also did this zechia and this merit and this merit. No, it doesn't work like that. It works. Man is judged as a whole, as man, and he is judged based on his attachment to chet and how much chet affects him. It affects his soul. Okay, so those are the key concepts. So I think understanding how man is judged is critical in coming back to our original question on Rashi. But first, we had a question about shogeg. You know, what is it? How would you assess, you know, a chet b'shogeg? So I found an interesting Ramban. And if we look at the pasuk in Vayikra, it's Vayikra Perek Dalet pasuk Beis. And can somebody on the phone line read this, please? Tamar? Number 8? Or not? Nicole?
No, thank you.
What?
I said no, thank you.
No, thank you. Okay.
I'll read it.
All right. Thank you. Okay, so the pasuk says that if an individual does a chet b'shogeg, He has to bring a korban. It's talking about korbanos. So the psukim go on and talk about the korban that a person has to bring b'shogeg. So the Ramban, in number 9, he points out an interesting idea about this pasuk, a nuance about the pasuk. So the Ramban says, V'tam ha-korbanos ala nefesh ha-shogegas. So why do we bring a korban on a soul that sins b'shogeg? V'pnei shekol ha-avonos yolidu genai b'nefesh v'heim mumba. So every avon creates a genai. It creates a blemish in a person's soul. V'lo sizache lahakbil pnei yotzra rak biyosa tara mikol chet. A person, he's not capable of going before God unless he's cleansed of all chet. V'lule zeh hayu tipshe ha'amim zochim lavo lefanav. V'lachin ha'nefesh ha'shogeges takriv korban shetizake lekarva el halokim asher nasna. Uvavur zeh gam kein hiskir nefesh. So the Ramban's pointing out that the pasuk in number 8 says nefesh kisecheta. It doesn't say adam kisecheta or isha kisecheta. It says nefesh. Why? Because even a chet b'shogeg affects man's soul. And it creates a blemish in man's soul. So what exactly does that mean? What does it mean that a chet b'shogeg creates a blemish in man's soul? Okay, and I think this will help us shed light on our original question of, you know, how is a shogeg judged? So we have to take the idea, does anybody want to try to answer? So let's take the idea of shogeg. The Rashi, if we go back to Rashi in the first source, in source number 2, Rashi says the pasuk is comparing a shogeg to a shikr, to a person who's drunk. Why? Because a person who's drunk, he doesn't have knowledge. His knowledge has escaped him because he's in an inebriated state, and because he's inebriated, he's unable to know what he's doing. And I'm sure everybody on the phone line has gotten drunk once or twice in their lives. And when you get drunk, you do crazy things. You know, you do things that you never would have done if you weren't drunk, if you were sober. So the thing is what is the concept? So let's say a person. Decides to do an aveira in a drunken state. Like, let's say a person eats chazer. He eats, pork in a drunken state. So it's true that when the person's drunk, his das is out of it. But the thing is that even when a person's out of it, they're still eating chazer or doing an aveira can still create an attachment to the chet. In other words, like, a person still enjoys it. There's still an enjoyment there in doing the chet. There still is a desire being satisfied in doing the chet, even if it's not just a taiva chet, a chet of taiva, although I think the Rashi is focusing on taiva, but any time like a person does a chet in a state of shikr, which is the case that Rashi is comparing the shogeg to, so a person can create an attachment to the chet. There could be a level of attachment, much like a person who's drunk, who does something one time or when they're drunk. So it's the same thing, I think, with a shogeg. Even though the guy, he doesn't know that he's doing something wrong, there is the ability, even when he's doing a shogeg, there is a concept that the chet could be enjoyable for the person, and it could create an attachment to the chet, even though he doesn't know that he's doing something wrong. So I think this is the key idea in explaining, you know, the Rashi. Why? Because, see, a shogeg is unique. Because on the one hand, when a person's drunk, if he does something, you know, one time, he eats chazer. So after, when he sobers up, he says, listen, it could be that it has no effect on him. And he never is attracted to eating chazer again. And it was a one-time deal, and that's it. Or it could be that when the person is drunk and he eats chazer, it does attract him. And it is a draw, you know, and it draws him in. It draws his soul into this chet. So it's possible either way by the shogeg. So I think that's the idea of why Rashi is saying that the shogeg wouldn't have been judged if not for the person doing a zadon. Why? Because if the person just did the shogeg, so it doesn't intrinsically reflect an attachment to chet. Because we said a person's judged based on a level of attachment. But once a person does zadonos, it means that the shogeg drew the person in. And even though, even though the person wasn't completely midas, but there was still a draw that was created, an attachment was created to sin. And now once he does this donos, it reflects the fact that when he did the shogeg, it created this attachment. And the shogegs, that's why the shogegs get judged in a court or with the zedonos. They get judged with the zedonos because of the fact that the shogegs can function to create an attachment of the man's soul to chet. Right? So that's the dual nature of a shogeg. That's unique. On the one hand, if a shogeg's done by itself, it doesn't necessarily create an attachment. But on the other hand, if the person does the donos, it reflects the fact that the person who did the shogeg before was really drawn into chet through the shogegim, and it drew the person in. So now the shogegs become judged on as well with his donos. So that's what I think, that explains Rashi, I think, right? Rashi is keying, or he's taking that concept of that a person's judged not based on how many chets they have or how many are in his bag, but rather level of attachment and the draw to chet. So Rashi is saying that a shogeg is unique in that sense. A shogeg is unique in the sense that it doesn't necessarily draw a person in. It could just be a one-time deal. On the other hand, it could. And the zadon, doing the zadon, reflects back on the shogeg, if the shogeg did draw the person in or not. Right? It's the same thing as the Rambam. If you look at the Rambam in number 5, he says a similar idea about the first two chatam. He says that really... He says, "V'im nimtzu z'chiyosav k'neged avonosav Hashem avon shishvelech ma'avir ma'kol avonosav rishon rishon." He says, in the beginning of the Rambam, he says, "Shtei avonos mitstarfim midananosav l'kol," that the first two are mitstarif with the third one. Why are the first two mitstarif with the third one? Because the first two contribute to creating the attachment of man's soul to chet. So too by the shogeg. The shogeg can contribute to creating an attachment to chet of the Adam, but it doesn't necessarily have to. So that's the chiddush by the shogeg, that it has a dual nature. But what about tshuva? So now this is an idea that I find fascinating. So even though man is judged in one way, but man has to do tshuva in a different way. What do I mean by that? So even though the Rambam says that the first two chataim aren't counted if a person is on a certain level, and by the third time, if he does the third chait and his level of goodness outweighs his evilness, then the first two aren't counted. It sounds like even if he doesn't do tshuva, the idea is that tshuva has nothing to do or is disconnected from punishment, really, from how a person's judged. Tshuva simply is that if a person recognizes that they did a flaw that took them away from the Ratzon Hashem, from God's will, you have to correct the flaw, and you have to analyze yourself, and you have to correct your flaw. And that could happen even by a shogeg, because when a person does a shogeg, it means, I think somebody said earlier, I think it was Nicole, she said even when a person does a shogeg, they should have known better. A person should be more aware. They have an opportunity to learn Torah. If you don't know that it's Shabbos because you weren't careful, you don't know that something's usher, that's a flaw. Yeah, certainly it's not as great of a flaw as bemezid, but it's definitely a flaw. And tshuva is necessary for flaws of a person. A person has to correct flaws, and that is what tshuva addresses. But the idea is that a person's judged in a different way. A person's not judged based on his act. He's not judged based on every particular action or every particular flaw, but he's judged based on the attachment of the soul to the flaw, either through the pattern idea that we said or through the level of the chet and the nature of the chet. Those two are critical ideas. But the main idea here is that we have to look at tshuva differently than how we're judged. Tshuva addresses flaws that we perceive that take us away from God's will and that bring us into a more imperfected state. Whereas man's judgment, which is a separate component, is based on the level of attachment of man to chet. And it's not simply based on, like I said before, how many chatam a person has and how many zechios. No, it's not as simple as that. It's based on where the person is drawn into. And which aspect of the person draws the soul in more, the good part of the person, zechios, or the avonos of the person? Like, that is how man is judged. Okay. Anybody have any questions on that idea? Any thoughts? Does the idea make sense? Tamar, can you just tell me the idea makes sense? Hello.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Oh, it sounds good. Okay. Thank you. All right, so I'm just going
to... You want to say that's another reason that you shouldn't get drunk.
Yeah, okay.
Not all of us have ever gotten drunk.
Not all right. It's true. But we definitely see that idea, though, that when a person gets drunk and they do something, so sometimes it could have like a drastic effect on the person and the person could be drawn to it. Whereas another time, it just whatever, it happened once, you know, it happened once and you forget about it. So I think that's the analogy to the shogi. So let me just summarize what we did tonight, you know, some of the key concepts. So the key question that we started with was, in this week's Parsha, Rashi seems to mention that there's a situation where God counts the shogegs with the mazids. And Rashi explains that had the person not done the mazids, God would have passed over the shogegs. But once the person does the mazid, so now God counts the shogeg with the mazid. And the question on that was, you know, what mimanav shach, basically, is a shogeg a bad thing? If it's a bad thing, so then God should punish you for a shogeg alone. And if it's not a bad thing, so then why is he punishing you when you do the mazids? What changed with the mazids? And then we strengthen the question from the fact that you see that you have to do tshuva on a shogeg. The Rambam brings it down. We say it in our tefillos on Yom Kippur. So the question is, what is the deal with shogegs? So we looked at the Rambam, and the Rambam mentions two critical ideas in how man's sins are judged. One idea is an idea that man's sins are judged not based on the particular sins, but based on the level of attachment a person has to the sin. And he explains that through this idea of three times, that if a person does a sin three times, he says he's judged differently. So why is he judged differently? Because when a person does a sin three times, it indicates that the sin has now become a pattern of man's soul and man's actions. And once it's become a pattern within man, so now man's attached to it in a different way. So that's the idea that we extrapolated from the Rambam there. And the other idea we saw in the Rambam is that sins and zechios and merits, they're not weighed on an equal basis. And some zechios are worth more and some sins are worth more. So the idea we said is that it's a similar idea in the sense that it's not a checklist and it's not a weighing system like a scale. But it's how is the person's soul affected by the good and evil? And the Rambam is mentioning that certain sins have a greater effect on man's soul, and they draw man's soul into evil more so than others, based on the nature of the sin and the severity of the sin. So we said those are the two concepts in the Rambam as to explain how man is judged for his sins. And then we saw in the Ramban that shogeg really does have an effect on the soul. So the question is, what does it mean it has an effect on the soul? So I think the idea is, and I think this helps explain Rashi, that a shogeg is like a drunk person, like Rashi explains. And we said that, why is he like a drunk person? Because a drunk person doesn't have das, and he does the chait. But even if a person does a chait, shalom midas, it could still draw a person into the chait. And sometimes a person will get the knowledge afterwards, and it won't have any effect, but other times it will still have an effect, because chait is very alluring, and it draws man in. So the idea Rashi is expressing is that if a person does zidonos and he just follows whatever his heart desires, it reflects the fact that the shogegs had an effect on his soul and it drew him into chait, and now he's counted or he's judged based on the shogegs and the mazids. Whereas in a normal case, if a person doesn't do zidonos, we don't automatically assume that a shogeg has that type of effect on man's soul, right? But we also said by tshuva that tshuva is a different idea. Tshuva is not an idea in what counts versus what doesn't count, but rather tshuva is an idea of analyzing one's flaws and analyzing where man is not in line with God's will and fixing those issues and going back into line with God's will. So that's the difference between tshuva and how man is judged. So hopefully these ideas will help a person gain insight into the nature of tshuva, the nature of, you know, schar v'onesh. We're coming to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So I wanted to focus on these ideas, and I hope everybody enjoyed the shiur, and I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos, and also I wish you a good Rosh Hashanah, a good Yor. All right?
Thank you. You too.
All right. Have a good night.